Today, Elaine, this was yesterday, today Elaine and I set out for Pietermaritzburg just before 7 o'clock for her to attend a baby shower and for us to stay over and attend a family dinner reunion of Shane's mom and his family, now our extended family. Whilst in the driveway, we prayed for a safe trip. At the notorious corner where trucks crash, we could see a stationary truck about a kilometer ahead. The traffic in our lane, the fast lane, was hardly moving, while the slow lane was open, apart from some drivers intending to push in further up. I softened the language a bit. An 18-wheeler came past us, hauling its load. As he got level with us, the straps holding down his load flew off, allowing his load to shift, pulling him into our lane and the car in front of us. It was like an explosion next to us. Now in the fast lane, he rear-ended the truck in front of us, shearing the fifth wheel and pushing the trailer up over its cab. A bucky and another car were involved in the collision and were T-boned. Elaine and I are both 100% fine and thankful not to be involved, apart from some glass shards all over the hood. We managed to turn with the other vehicles behind us and detour to Drummond, and we finally arrived in Pietermaritzburg safely. Thank you, God. Psalm 95 says, come. Oh, just to say, Psalm 95, I'm going to read from the Message almost exclusively this morning. Okay, so if the scriptures sound a little bit different, it's because I'm reading from the Message. Psalm 95, come, let's shout praises to God. Raise the roof for the rock who saved us. Let's march into his presence singing praises, lifting the rafters with our hymns. And why? Because God is the best, high king over all the gods. In one hand he holds deep caves and caverns. In the other hand grasps the high mountains. He made oceans, he owns it. His hand sculpted earth. So come, let us worship, bow before him. On your knees before God who made us. Oh yes, he's our God. And we're the people he pastures, the flock he feeds. And the scripture that was on the front of the bulletin this morning is the 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. This is out of the New International Version. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And the same scripture in the Message says, be cheerful no matter what, pray all the time, thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you to belong to Christ Jesus to live. So give thanks in all circumstances. Thanks to God no matter what. We don't thank God for the bad circumstances. We just thank God all the time. Whether the circumstances are challenging or the circumstances are good, we give thanks to God. We give thanks in all circumstances. Today is a special focus on giving thanks, and so I'm going to mention some stuff as we go through the service of what we can be thankful for as a church. But every day should be a place of thanksgiving and thankfulness to God. We shouldn't wait for one Sunday in the year to give thanks. We should be thankful throughout the whole year. I share this story with you this morning. It's found in Luke 17, 11 to 19. It's called The Ten Lepers. Again, this is out of the Message. It happened that as he made his way towards Jerusalem, this is Jesus, he crossed over the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 men, all lepers, met him. They kept their distance but raised their voices, calling out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Taking a good look at them, he said, go, show yourselves to the priests. They went, and while still on their way, became clean. One of them, when he realized that he was healed, turned around and came back, shouting his gratitude, glorifying God. He kneeled at Jesus' feet, so grateful. He couldn't thank him enough, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus said, were not 10 healed, where are the 9? Can none be found to come back and give glory to God except this outsider? Then he said to him, get up, on your way. Your faith has healed and saved you. So there's a bit of a challenge for your theology. If you think that salvation is all about repent and be baptized, this man was saved because Jesus healed him of leprosy. Anyway, we're not going there this morning, but maybe you can think about that for a moment. There's 10 men who are healed. One comes back. He's the outsider. He's not the local guy. And he's healed. And he comes back and he says, thank you. He says, thank you to Jesus. What is the difference between him and the other nine? They were all healed. All 10 are healed, but only one comes back. I think it's because he noticed and he took action. There's a place where he said, I need to go back and I need to say thank you. This has happened to me. I need to go back. I don't know why the other 10 didn't. I'm not sure why that happened. It's a mystery. But I will tell you this, that I think maybe they could have been a little bit too familiar with Jesus. What am I saying? I met somebody the other day who's a brand new Christian. They're about 2 months into their journey. And when I went to their house, they said, Brian, we have to show you something. We're so excited. And I thought, what could this possibly be? And they went to their table at the entranceway, and they picked up a Bible, and they said, we've just bought our very first Bible. Have a look at it. I was like, I've got a whole bookshelf of these things, and I kind of take it for granted. I wonder if maybe the nine took it a little bit for granted. We're kind of like a little bit blasé with what they'd seen happen or what had happened to them. Maybe they were just too excited and they rushed off to go and tell other people. I'm not sure. But we need to have that kind of faith, I really believe. A faith that says, this brand new thing is miraculous. I've seen it before, but I'm seeing it again. I think we need to notice a little bit more what God does for us. And you know what? We're going to notice stuff, and there's stuff that he does that we won't even notice. You woke up this morning, didn't you? Who woke you up? God woke you up. I know it was your alarm clock. Thanks, Google. And you're on time for church, almost, only just. But God gives us the very next day, the very next breath. Do we ever give thanks for that? We know how to give thanks. If we hear this, I've got good news. The cancer is in remission. He proposed, look at my ring. I just saw the best movie. I can't believe you came. Thanks. We know how to give thanks. But I'm wondering if we need to be a little bit more in tune with God and a bit more saying thank you. You know, when this man came back, the one that was healed, and he said thank you, a whole lot of things happened in his life that wouldn't have happened. He was suddenly much closer to Jesus Christ, just having come back and said thank you. You know what it's like when somebody comes back and says thank you. Suddenly there's a better connection. He recognized his healing. There was a difference that happened in his life, and he noticed it. So let me just tell you a couple of the things that I'd like you to notice. And these are just a few things throughout our year. I do this kind of CEO report back on a Thanksgiving Sunday. But here are some of the highlights for me. New members' breakfasts. We've had 3 new members' breakfasts in this year. You might not realize this, but by the end of the year, 39 people would have come into membership this year in this church. 39 people who have joined because they really want to be a part of where we are going. We give God grateful thanks that he's moving people to be a part of our church. We give grateful thanks for God in his incredible, incredible power of giving us a new roof. So we had a new roof on the cards for a while. Then somebody, a roofer, said to us, well, these tiles are so old, they're crumbling. You never think of that when you build a house, that in 50 years' time somebody's going to say, oh, these things are starting to crumble. The lifespan of roof tiles is 50 years, just so that you know. So they'd run their course. That picture on the screen, you can see the office block with the new tiles and the other part with the old. If you think, well, the roof looks pretty similar, or it looks way different. Much, much better. Anyway, but we were able to raise the shortfall, which was over 100,000, in less than a month and a half. Because God said to people in this church, move, do something for this. God is good. God is good. We give him thanks this morning. That's what today is about. Giving God thanks, giving him glory, saying thank you, Lord. If at any point you are so stirred and you want to shout out amen, Peter Benson's not here to lead the charge. Where's the new Peter Benson? If you want to shout out amen, just do it because God is good. Amen. Thank you. There it is. Bevan Benson. Woo! Okay. But Lillian's not the loud one in the family. We know that. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this. It's quite a big quote, but listen carefully. This is what he said about giving thanks. In the Christian community, thankfulness is just what it is anywhere else in the Christian life. Only he who gives thanks for little things receives the big things. We prevent God from giving us the great spiritual gifts he has in store for us because we do not give thanks for daily gifts. We think we dare not be satisfied with a small measure of spiritual knowledge, experience, and love that he has given to us, and that we must constantly be looking forward eagerly for the highest good. Then we deplore the fact that we lack the deep certainty, the strong faith, and the rich experience that God has given to others, and we consider this lament to be pious. We pray for the big things and forget to give thanks for the ordinary, small, and yet really not small gifts. How can God entrust great things to one who will not thankfully receive from him the little things? If we do not give thanks daily for the Christian fellowship in which we have been placed, even where there is no great experience, no discoverable riches, but much weakness, small faith, and difficulty. If, on the contrary, we only keep complaining to God that everything is so paltry and petty, so far from what we expected, then we hinder God from letting our fellowship grow according to the measure and riches which are there for us all in Jesus Christ. Give thanks for the little thing. Everybody's got something to give thanks for. If you think about it for a moment, you can most probably think of somebody who's a little bit worse off than you. Maybe you don't have as much money as somebody else, but maybe your health is better than theirs. Or maybe their health is not good, but they have more money. In actual fact, we're better off than most probably 80% of people in the rest of the world. Charles Spurgeon said, "If you are not content with what you have, you would be not satisfied if it were doubled." Think about that for a moment. Referring to the scripture, the quote that I read from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, "We pray for the big things and forget to give thanks for the ordinary small gifts. How can God entrust things to one who will not thankfully receive from him the little things?" Do we notice the little things? The everyday things? The one leper noticed. Psalm 111 says this, "Hallelujah! I give thanks to God with everything I've got, wherever God's good people gather and in the congregation. God's works are so great, worth a lifetime of study, endless enjoyment. Splendor and beauty mark his craft. His generosity never gives out. His miracles are his memorial. This God of grace, this God of love, he gave food for those who fear him. He remembered to keep his ancient promise. He proved to his people that he could do what he said. Hand them the nations on a platter, a gift. He manufactures truth and justice. All his products are guaranteed to last, never out of date, never obsolete, rust-proof. All that he makes and does is honest and true. He paid the ransom for his people. He ordered his covenant kept forever. He's so personal and holy, worthy of our respect. The good life begins in the fear of God. Do that and you'll know the blessing of God. His hallelujah lasts forever." Another thing that we can give thanks for this morning is that we had 3 work parties during the year. How can we give thanks for that? Come on, Brian, we get dirty, we get smelly, we work hard. Well, the fact that we can fix a property and a building means that we have a property and a building. It's how we look at these things that's so important. God blessed us. God blessed us hugely. And there's not a whole lot that goes wrong, just by the way. Work party is not so stressful. It's actually quite a fun place to be. Advert for next time, hint, hint. But we get to fix what God has given us. We are incredibly, incredibly blessed. And on the heels of that, we celebrated 50 years. That's why we had to change those tiles. They had lost it for 50 years. But we've been here because of God's goodness in and through this church. For 50 years, we have been here. God is incredible. God is good. Amen. One of the important things that I think we need to take note of is that we're blessed to be a blessing. It's critical that we get this right. We don't wait for God's blessings so that we can bless. That's a little bit like buying a lottery ticket and saying, when the money comes in, then I'm going to give some of it away. No, we give because we are blessed, because of all the good things that God has done, we give. Not that the lottery ticket will pay out. Not because we hope that at some point God's going to notice our really generous heart and shower us with blessings. That's a different gospel. No, we just give because God is good. God is good and we bless because He is a blessing to us. Hebrews 12 verse 28. Do you see what we've got? An unshakable kingdom. And do you see how thankful we must be? Not only thankful, but brimming with worship, deeply reverent before God. Another thing that we can give thanks for is the Comrades Marathon. We get to not have church for one Sunday in the year. And you might think, what? Well, I tell you, when that changed from the 16th of June to a Sunday, we were very upset as a church. We fought with the Comrades Committee as a church. We said, no, you can't not let us have church. And then we decided, well, after a few years of fighting, that that was not accomplishing anything. And we thought, well, let's just embrace this thing. And we've done that for many, many years. And we get out there with our trailer and we do worship and we sell coffee and we connect with the community. You know, the people that are on the street in that day, they're not anti much. We get to tell them about Holiday Club. They get to hear our music. One of the moments that is the most special, and if you've never come to that service, come to that service. One of the most special things is when the worship team on the truck is saying something in a song like, "We worship you, Almighty God," and you see a runner just raise their hand in acknowledgement of who God is, or to do this with their hands. You just realize we're meant to be there. Jesus said, go and make disciples. That Sunday, we're forced to go. And we love that we get to do that. And we love that we're blessed with the technical ability, with the musicians, with a team. Yeah, we are so blessed that we get to do that. Woo! Woo! Hey! Hey! Yes, please. Go, Peter Schauber. Right. Two other things that I just want to mention at this point is the fact that we do Holiday Club every year, and this year we also did a Robot Club. We have about 100 kids come through our Holiday Club. You noticed it this morning. I hope you noticed that there are kids in this church. These are not the future of the church. This is the church now. The young people are the church now. I pointed out last week who was on live stream, who does worship, who works in our kids' ministry, who runs Jive on a Friday night, who runs Holiday Club, who runs Robot Club. It's our young people. There's older folk involved, and we love you for that. But our young people are taking the church. I don't want my young people in this church to get to the end of their matric year, and we say, come into your church, and they say, we don't even recognize it. We don't know what that is. We were never part of this. They own it now, and they own it well, and we are so blessed. Anyway, so we give an altar call on the Thursday at the Holiday Club. We say to the children, hey, if you want Jesus to be your special friend, just stay behind. There's a big game happening if you want to go play. But just say and sit with your leader if you want Jesus to be your special friend. Every year we have kids. I don't know how many stayed behind this year, Shubha. 10-ish. That's most probably 11. And a half. No. But just know that out of those 100 kids, 10 kids just stopped and said, yeah, I want to know Jesus, my special friend. And it's because of this church that those little people get to make a commitment to Him. It's a huge blessing. 1 Chronicles 16:34-36. Give thanks to God. He is good, and his love endures forever. Say, save us, Savior God. Round us up and get us out of these godless places so we can give thanks to your holy name and bask in your life of praise. Blessed be God, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then everybody said, yes, amen, and praise God. Yes, amen, and? Oh, yes. We need to have an attitude of gratitude. We need that in our lives. We need to be people who set the trend when it comes to gratitude. Shoba sells journals every January, gratitude journals. And there's a day set aside for every single day of the year in that journal. Sometimes it's hard to think of something to give God gratitude for every single day of the year, but it's good to give God gratitude every single day of the year. But gratitude only goes so far. Gratitude in a journal, gratitude in your heart is great. But thanksgiving, you might pick up on it, it's made of two words. Thanks and giving. I don't know about you, but that sounds like an action word to me. Hey, it really sounds like a word where we've got to do something. So have an attitude of gratitude, but act as well. Respond to God's goodness and grace by being thankful. Psalm 107, verse 21 and 22. Thank God for his marvelous love, for his miracle mercy to the children he loves. Offer thanksgiving sacrifices. Tell the world what he's done. Sing it out. I think I'm just about at the end of my sermon, but let me just say that another thing we can give thanks for is our confirmation. 7 young people came through our confirmation course this year. 7 is the biggest number since before COVID of young people coming through this church doing confirmation. We love you, Lord. Nation changes. We had 136 volunteers involved in our nation changes. 136, that's almost, I think it's about who's sitting here, the number of people sitting here this morning. We raised 45,725 rand to give to those missions. This picture, by the way, is the container roof build that did eventually happen in Embo. That good-looking child there is my tall son. We just took the step ladder so that he didn't feel like he was too tall. No. But we went and we built a container. We went to Baby Hope House and blessed the babies there. We helped with fence poles at a school that we're involved in. We went and did. 136 people went and did. Psalm 138. Thank you. Everything in me says thank you. Angels, listen as I sing my thanks. I kneel in worship facing your holy temple and say it again, thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your faithfulness. Most holy is your name. Most holy is your word. The moment I called out, you stepped in. You made my life large with strength. My last thing that we want to notice this morning is our Mulweni church. In 2011, there was a vision to start another church. My motivation was we were planted from a church. Why have we not planted in the years that we've been here? And so there was some discussion around that. In 2015, a small group started in Mulweni under the leadership of Watson Leifer, and that eventually grew to a place where the people in the small group said, we need to have a Sunday service. If we're a church, shouldn't we meet on a Sunday? So we found a venue. They started meeting. We've got about 60. I couldn't find a nice picture. I don't know why I couldn't find a picture of Mulweni, but anyway. There's about 60 adults that meet on a Sunday morning. They're meeting right now in Mulweni, in our church that we started and we support. God is good. God is good. He planted us here and we planted them there. And you know what they're talking about? They're talking about planting. They need to be faithful as well. Some of the money that came in for our 50th came from our daughter church in Mulweni. God is good. Psalm 89. Your love, God, is my song, and I'll sing it. I'm forever telling everyone how faithful you are. I'll never quit telling the story of your love, how you built the cosmos, and guaranteed everything in it. Your love has always been our lives' foundation. Your fidelity has been the roof over our world. You once said, I joined forces with my chosen leader. I pledge my word to my servant, David, saying, everyone descending from you is guaranteed life. I'll make your rule as solid and lasting as rock. Blessed be God forever and always. Yes, oh yes. My last thought. Christians should be the people that show the rest of the world how to be thankful. We have got so much to be thankful for, and thankfulness is something that will spread the love of Christ to other people. So be people of thanksgiving.